appreciate the Lord today. Seems an awful easy thing to just reach out and touch the Lord, don't it? Not much requirement involved in that. Just as we're singing that song, I never sing that song that I don't think of that woman in the Bible with the issue of blood, that all the things that she had tried of life to help herself and partook of things that would help them, medicines and this, and you know, people, they get desperate to do anything they can to help themselves. And anyway, she heard of this man Jesus going to be passing by, and she just knew in her heart that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she could just touch the righteousness of God with just her, she could just grab a hold of that, she'd be okay. And as Jesus was walking through, you know, when I think of a gathering of people and a throng of people, I think that's how it says that she pressed through the throng, isn't it? She, and going by, she pressed through there. Another scripture, I believe, says that the law was from Moses to Christ. How's that word? Y'all remember that scripture? But since that time, the kingdom of heaven was preached from Moses till John, but since that time, man presseth into it. The kingdom of God. I can't get that scripture. I apologize for that. I just kind of fleetingly crossed across my mind. But anyway, that it's a pressing way. You got to. There's an effort involved. As we sung that song, I can't help but think of that woman that she worked her way down through there, and I don't think that she was there. It is the law and the prophets were until John, but since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it, and that's reaching out our hands and touch Him. Pressing through this wall that we call the flesh of our Adamic nature and the will of man to touch the righteousness of God, that He may in turn give us a touch of righteousness that will help us overcome the infirmity. Not a necessarily in this woman's case it was a physical ailment, but all that we need a spiritual healing, don't we? There's people that suffer with many things. People suffer with, you know, they got all kinds of, you know, it wasn't but 50 years ago, if you had a mental condition, they just pretty much was ready to put you into an asylum and call you a lunatic. And they tried all these, you know, as a nurse, we had got to study all those things, electric shock therapies and all these different things they did, and water treatments and almost drowning you to cure your mind of its problems. All these things, but I know somebody can cure some. He can do it in broad daylight. You ain't got to drown. You ain't got to be shocked. You will be shocked. People suffer from depression. You know that's an illness? Something that grabs a hold of you and just holds you down, holds you bound. But we're children of the light. To walk above that. And if I can just reach up and touch Him, that's what I want to do. So I appreciate the song service this morning. And I'd like to welcome our guest here today. We got Sister Tina Alino. Is that right? And two children. I guess one little girl. I think I seen a little girl with Sister Tally, didn't I? Favor and Fidelis. All right. Well, we welcome y'all here. And glad you can make it. Amen. Always appreciate seeing new faces and getting acquainted with them. House of God is supposed to be a place, an open door for people to wander by and feel to go in there. Israel became a place to where it was a sealed house and nobody could get into it. This is not that place. And we got Brother Arthur Vaughn. Glad he's here. Thankful to see him come in and come down here in front and know God's dealing with his heart and is helping him. God bless you for coming. Anyway, we need to receive our offering and tithes if we can. We can get a song together I'm sorry. Let's do prayer first. I know we got a lot sick tonight. Today, Sister. Sister Elsie's back and her family. Let's remember them. Sister Fisher. Okay. All right. Your left ear. All right. And I guess Brother... Brother and Sister McGowan, Brother Journal. Brother Bill Henry, yeah, he's an absentee member. He's sick. I ain't seen him in a few days. All right. Okay, let's remember Brother Fred. He's doing this show trying to gather up more business, but he's got a bad back and he's sick to boot. That's just a bad deal all around, isn't it? Be sure to pray for him. And let's keep him in your prayers. His back, every time I talk to him, he tells me, you know, it's still hurting. But, you know, he just keeps on going. That's the way we need to be in the Lord. Don't matter if I got a burden on me, whatever. Just keep on pressing. Amen, Sister Bryant. Special unspoken. Glad to see Brother Bryant. He was sick the last service I was in, so glad he's in here. Sister Fisher. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's in the healing business, isn't he? Remember Brother Dodson? And DJ's back. Yeah, he's not here today. Missed him in Bible study. Brother Matthew? Okay. Let's remember his family tonight. Crow and Brother and Sister Crow. God touch them. All right. That it? That's not too many. God can handle all that. I'm sure we all got a special unspoken, don't we? I ask you to remember my mother. She called me this week and she really isn't doing well at all, but you know, she's at that stage of her life. But anyway, if you would just say a prayer for her, please. Let's all just stand and take these to the Lord in prayer. Remember the service. Ask God to touch his ministry, to feed us clean provender, if you will. Thank you, Savior. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. I praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for the opportunity to come to be with you today, Lord, to be with your people and together. Oh, God, all those that are sick here among us today, Lord, would you touch them? Help them, Lord. Touch their bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember our service here today, Lord. Let your spirit, Lord, work here among us. Touch your ministry, Lord. Dear Savior, praise your holy name, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah.
my battery's about dead. Let me, I think I've got another one up here. Yeah. Is it working now? Okay. Praise the Lord. We've got so many out today, it seems. I don't know where Brother Sister McPhee are. Anyone know anything about them? Maybe out of town or something. Anyway, we just want to say how much we appreciated everyone that went to the Brother Cole's in Glenwood yesterday. Let me get my notes. I've got a few things to announce. We had a good fellowship with them and had a good turnout. I think there was about 22 from here went, and then Brother and Sister Daniels from Podo brought some people and came up. That's about two and a half hour drive, I think, from Glenwood. So that was good to be with them also. And, of course, they wanted to have it on a Saturday so that Aaron could come because he works during the week. And wouldn't you know, he had to have his National Guard drill. And he wasn't able to make it anyway. So, but anyway, we had to. Had a good time there with the Coles and the people there. I appreciate them coming and being with us. Aaron seems to be taking quite an interest in church, and he's, for some reason, he's taking an interest in coming up to Little Rock. And so right now, Sister Coles is helping her mother is ill, and so she's trying to help take care of her. And so Brother Coles is coming some with Aaron on Sunday nights. But Sister Coles is not able to come right now. I wanted to mention the Dominican trip in May of next year. It's actually announced it originally as a youth trip, but I did say anyone could go. When we were in Wichita last month, well, Brother Green said the Wichita church is really excited about going. And I said, well, how many's going? He said, the whole church. I said, the whole church? He said, well, you know, it'll probably... there'll be several probably that can't go, but they think probably more than 50 people will go from Wichita that's wanting to go. And so we're planning possibly going to Altos de Chavron and Catalina Island. There's a little island off of, which is a beautiful beach, just off of La Romana coastline, and boat take you out there. And so I thought we'd try to get a day or part of a day out there. It'll still be nice and warm in the Dominican Republic, but it won't be hot like in July or August. And then that night we may have a free day and night, but I want to try to visit some of the churches at night. I'd love to be able to take everybody out to Guerrero, which there's no way we could all fit in the building, but we could probably have a service outside, maybe. But it's always a great experience for everybody that goes to the little village of Guerrero. That's where Brother Calderon had he was pastoring a Nazarene church there, and when he began to come this way and God began to touch him and open his eyes to this message, well, they found out about that, and they told him to get out of the church, and he had to move. And really, he didn't think his church would accept this. And so he just thought he would just come to the body of Christ and have to leave that church. But all the people began to say, you can't do this to us. You can't leave us here. We want to go with you. And we see, you know, God's doing something. So he didn't know what to do. He went and asked those villages, many of them are owned by La Romana Central, which is the sugar company. They own thousands upon thousands of acres that they plant in sugar cane. And, you know, that's a big commodity over there is their sugar. And they still harvest those fields with machetes and put the sugar cane on carts that oxen pull. And then they have train tracks that run through these sugar cane fill areas, and they pile the sugar on those off of those carts onto trains. And of course you can see they rotate the planting of these lands because they harvest sugar the big part of the year. And so you can see these trains going in and out of town just loaded with sugar cane. In fact, I always get a kick out of seeing a lot of times when the train's going slow coming out of La Romana Central or coming into it, it'll be going slow, and you can see a lot of times little children or young men run over to the train track and reach in there and pull them out of sugar cane stalk so they can have sugar cane to chew on. And they cut it up in little bitty pieces and scrape it and put it in a little bag and sell it. It'll be standing at the red lights, which nobody stops for hardly, but anyway, they're standing on corners and you can buy sugar cane. And that's a cheap candy over there. But that land is generally owned by the company. And so Brother Calderon went to the company and asked them, you know, would you give me some land? I need a place for another church because I'm no longer with this church. And the supervisor of La Romana Central said, well, you just get back in good graces with them people because you already have a church. I'm not giving you any more land. And he didn't understand it. And so Brother Calderon went home and he began to fast and pray. And I think on the third day of his fasting, a young man knocked on the door and said, told Brother Calderon when he answered, he said, the supervisor from La Romana Central sent me out here to tell you that you can have this little spot back over here behind the village to build a church. And so they got busy and poured a little concrete slab and erected a building that's, you just have to go there and see it. It's made out of tubifores and little trees that they've cut down and made them for the corner post and center post, and then they nailed tubifores to them and then screwed any kind of metal or sheet iron they could find to it for the walls, and it's got windows and doors, but no doors or windows. It's got holes for windows and doors, but no doors and windows. And a lot of people stand outside if there's no room and look in at the window and at the doors. And you can step right out the back door and take three or four steps and be in a sugarcane field. It's just a little trail to get out of there. And then at night, you have to have a flashlight or something to find your way to the building. And so it's interesting. But when they went in that little building, that's all they could afford to erect. When they went in that little building, it was one of the most amazing things. And I want to get, Brother, I know I've got the picture, Brother Painter, somewhere, and I want to get it for you to get it on our website. A white dove came in that little building and perched on a 2x4 plate at the top plate of the wall where the rafters came down. And between those rafters, he picked him out a spot just over the musicians that played a, you know, they was playing a bass guitar and a big drum, the drums and a piano. They have one light bulb hanging in this building that lights it, but they have electricity that you can, of course, you can see the wires, and some of them don't look like they're quite insulated. But anyway, they've got it rigged up where they have electricity working for services in there. And this white dove stayed in that building for 3 months. I was in services where that dove, I was there when it first came, and I was there, I left and went back, and it's still there. And I mean, those people would get to singing, and I mean, it'd be so noisy in there, you couldn't hardly hear yourself think. And I saw that white dove many times just stand up and raise his wings up like that and just kind of flutter and look around, and then he'd just hunker back down and stayed through the whole service. Now, you know, that's a miracle, Brother York, you get a wild white dove to fly in and sit down on a perch and stay there with you. And I just, you know, I told him, I said, that's a witness of God that he's with you. The Spirit of God is with you. And today, it's, that church has grown, and when we went to this last trip that we came from, they had a nice band playing in the service at Brother Green's church. Of course, they had Brother Green, Brother Elias, and Brother Calderon's people all come together there for a day service. And the building was just full. We had Brother Rudy and some of his people from Higuay, and Brother Jackson from Fuchsia and some of his people, and Brother Carpio and his wife were there. And the band was playing and just blessing, and I looked over to Sister Smith, and I told her, I said, that's the Magareto band. It's the only band we've got in the Dominican Republic. They've really got a pretty nice band, but the other churches don't have the instruments yet, and they just don't have a band put together that like they have. The benefit that the Gordetto Church had is one of Brother Preval's men from Haiti that was a band member for many years and a band director moved over there and married one of Brother Calderon's girls. And so he's in the church, so he taught, he put a band together and doing a good job with it. So they had an advantage over him in that. But he's helping the other churches, you know, he's teaching them music too. But then one day we're going to go to Santo Domingo. And there's a place in Santo Domingo that's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if you've been to Branson, to the landing. I guess that's as close as I could get. It's like businesses on both sides, and it's like a street, but there's no cars goes up and down it. Yeah, it's a brick street, but they don't drive up and down it. It's just people, you shop up and down. It's about a, I don't know, half a mile long or so. And it's right in the same area where Columbus's house was. And there's a place there called the Columbus Lighthouse, which it's not a lighthouse. I mean, it's a building that's built with windows that are shaped in the shape of a cross, and the lights of that building at night are on, and on a cloudy night, the lights will shine up on the clouds, and you can see a cross on the clouds. It's a big cross because it's a big building, and his casket in the Columbus's body is there, and they have guards 24 hours around the clock guarding that casket. and there's little rooms in there, and it's sort of a history of the Caribbean nations and Europe, part of Europe, Spain, and all that. You can go in each one of those little rooms and sort of get a little touristic type historical account of how those nations came about. And so I thought we'd try to take the people there and then have that one day of shopping, and then we could have service that night in Santo Domingo. And then I'm hopeful to have one day band clinic during the day, and then that night we'll have service, and the next day a service, and that night for the meeting portion of it, and then the next day we'll come home. So over the weekend. So anyway, I just want to mention it. I don't know how many people here. I know there's some of you are planning on going. I know some of you haven't decided, and some of you don't know. But Brother and Sister Stewart and Brother and Sister Mark Boyd I've asked them to help coordinate this trip for our church, and they're working with Brother and Millsap, getting ideas from them, because they've given them a lot of ideas on how they raise money for their youth group. And so Sister Stewart asked me to announce November the 17th, a yard sale here to try to begin to raise some money for the Dominican trip. So and they want to start collecting things for that. So if you have things you can bring, see Sister Stewart, Sister Sherry Boyd. Sister Joyce Weiniger just texted me and said that white dove was there when they were there, when they went with us there. I didn't know that. I'm glad I've got a witness besides me just telling it. And yeah, it would have been the same place. He stayed in the same spot all the time in Guerrero, in that church. He stayed right in one spot on that between two rafters. And so anyway, and I took some, I know I took one or two pictures of it, but I need to go back on my computer chips where I saved those pictures. And I think I've got some CDs that Brother Mark put some of my Dominican trips on CDs, and I think it's on one of them. Anyway, I'll try to find that so that we could maybe show it to you, or like I said, get it up on our website. So I just want to encourage you, if you could feel something, if you'll pray about it, feel on God. I don't think the Lord, you know, God called me to the Dominican Republic. And that means you're called to the Dominican Republic because you are a part of this church. And what God's called me to do, He's called us to do. I couldn't do it without y'all. And so it would be, I can guarantee you, a life-changing, not only life-changing experience, but a life experience. It you will enjoy that trip, I promise you. No one has ever went to the Dominican Republic yet that didn't just come home and say, I've got to come again. You know, they just want to go back again. Everybody I think that's ever been there wants to go back. And so it's something that you know, if you want to make a memory, and if you want to meet some of the people of God and see some of the excitement that goes along with a new work in the body of Christ, you need to pray and see if God will make a way for you to go. Then I wanted to mention, if the youth or any of the youth are planning on or would like to go to the Mount Carmel youth meeting, then you need to let us know so we can make sure that we're going to have somebody that can take you and go. I know I don't. Brother Sturt's not going to be able to go at that time this year, but I'm sure that we can accommodate the youth if they want to make that youth meeting this year. Then I might just mention this. I haven't fully made a decision on this. I'm having a general meeting, international meeting in the Dominican Republic that's on the meeting list for February that I am considering canceling in lieu of having this May meeting because there's so many people wanting to go on this trip in May that I think it's going to turn into a bigger deal than what I thought it was. So I think I'm just going to make this our meeting. Also, Brother Almanord is having a meeting in December over there, and I'm planning on going to that meeting. He's from Haiti and has churches in Haiti, and his work is a Haitian work in the Dominican Republic. There is, being that the island of Hispaniola is made up of the two countries, Haiti and the Dominican Republic, there's both Haitians and Dominicans on the Dominican side. And so there's, I have ministers from Haiti that's working with us, even Haitian and Dominican pastors that have Haitian works. Brother Rudy and Brother Jackson, both of those churches are Haitians. The Gueretto Church is a Haitian church, but they're Dominican Haitians. So they speak fluent Spanish and Creole. So anyway, I just wanted to make mention of those things. I don't know if there's any other announcements that I need to make today, but I just want to say how much I appreciate, again, having, Sister Alina Lino? Is that right? And her children here with us today. And they've lived here for 5 years, she told me. They live over here on Timberland Road, but she is from Nigeria. And I asked her what dialect they spoke in Nigeria, and she told me something which I said, you might as well not even told me because I don't know what that is. Anyway, we're just so glad to have her and Favor and Fidelis. She's Favor. I guess she's favored of God and he's faithful. That's what the word Fidelis means. I know Fidelis probably is how it's pronounced. Fidel in Spanish means faithful. And so anyway, we're glad to have them with us. I'm mostly thankful for the Lord today. I'm glad we were talking in Bible study about in the second chapter or the third chapter of Colossians, where it said that we are hid. Our life is hid in Christ. If you want to turn to that verse in Colossians, the third chapter, I'm glad today that I know Him. I'm glad that I have a relationship with Christ that goes beyond just repentance and forgiveness of sins, but that I am putting on this new man. I have put on the new man. I've been born again of the Spirit of God, that Jesus came here that you and I could have life. He came to give us life, and not just life in the Spirit of God for today, but eventually it's to work the fullness of eternal life in our lives. When you read this, Brother Talley and I were talking about it. It at times when you read it, it sounds like right now you are you know, you're dead to sin and you're alive in Christ. Well, and Brother Tally was mentioning to me, he said, you know, we know this is a progressive work. We know that we're not completely dead to sin. Is anybody in here completely dead to sin yet? No sin works in your life. There's no bad thoughts ever. You don't ever think to do wrong or do wrong. Well, I don't see any hands. I'm not getting any takers on that. But when you are born again, when God begins to work in your life, I told the story in the Dominican Republic, and it just reminded me that there's so many things that happened that we, you know, that our history has given us over the years and experiences we've had that I just can't tell it all over there. You know, I don't get it told. And this was the first time I didn't realize I hadn't told it. I was up talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, there was a man in America, in the body of Christ, that was 6 foot tall. I think he was in one of the churches in Illinois. I don't have all the details of this story, but I've heard it ever since I've been here, of how he wanted the Holy Ghost. He heard about it, he wanted it, and he would come up in, you know, services and get the brethren to pray for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. And he'd come up and pray, and he said, in this church, in the body, there was a little midget. There was a little guy that was, he was just 4 foot tall. And it wasn't Julius, I don't know who it was. They had another little midget in the body way back then. And he said, I'd go up to pray, and this little guy would come up behind me every time I'd go pray. And he said he'd start beating me on the back. And he'd be said, kill him, Jesus. Kill his old man. Give him the Holy Ghost. And he'd just be beating him. He said, I couldn't. He'd say, pray, 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 pray. And he said, I couldn't pray. I couldn't even think about the Holy Ghost. This little feller beat me about waist high. And he said he was beating on me and trying to, you know, he was trying to help me. But he said it was so distracting that I couldn't think. I couldn't even think about it. And he said, I got to where I didn't even want to go up there to pray for the Holy Ghost because I knew this little guy would be right up there beating me on the back, calling, pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Get him, Jesus. Help him to die. And he just going on, you know, and he said, I that distracted me so much and I got so frustrated in that. But he said, I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost so bad that he said, I finally got to a place that I didn't care if that little midget or who was there doing whatever they was going to do. I made up my mind, I'm going to get this whole, I want the Holy Ghost. And he said, I forgot about all that other. And I got in earnest and I shut myself up in a closet of prayer and begin to earnestly seek God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, that night, a 6 foot man died on a 4 foot cross. But when I started telling this story in the Dominican Republic, I was telling, Brother Green was interpreting for me, and I said, they had a little midget. And he said, what's a midget? He didn't know. So I had to explain it to him, and I told him how he's beaten, and Brother Green got so tickled he couldn't interpret for me. He said, I could see that little guy. So when I left them, they were still talking about that little midget. He said, now, how big was the cross? How big was the... I had to explain it to him that this guy was 6 foot tall and this little 4 foot midget, this guy died. That was his cross, you know, and he died on that cross. Well, I've heard that ever since I came to the body. Anyway, there is a death. You have to die out to your own desires, your own will, your own being your own God. You're running your own life, having your own way and in whatever you want to do. There has to be a death to that. You've got to come to a place to realize that I am a creature made by God, and He sent His Son to this world to reconcile me back to God from the fallen condition that man is in. And that I cannot be my own, I can't have my own way, my own will, my own ideas about life. But I need to get back in harmony with my Creator and let Him guide, lead me, instruct me, and direct my steps and help me to know what is His will for my life. I'm here because He created this, and He put me here, and He wants me to be here because of why He created this. He knows that there's people that will never, they'll never humble themselves enough to Him to be a part of why He created all of this. But if God can touch you deep enough, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your past is. I don't care how deep in sin you've been. There is a God in heaven that can lift you up out of the deepest depths of sin and set you up above all of that and work righteousness in your life and cause you to be holy. Hallelujah. God's called you for that. He sent His Son to this world to save you from that sinful condition that we all have been a part of and walked in, and it's worked in our lives and in our being. And God, if God can talk to our hearts enough that we can get back get our minds in a condition that He can touch us and talk to us and pull on our heartstrings enough that we see our need for Him. You won't be satisfied. If God touches you enough, you won't be satisfied with just knowing that He's forgiven me of my past sin. You won't be satisfied to know that He loves you and that He's forgiven you and that He's accepting your faith. But when you hear and know that there's a born-again experience through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the religious world's Christianity's got this quite confused. Let me show you a scripture. I'm going to come back to Colossians 3. A lot of times I do this. I'll go to a scripture and then I preach to it. I don't take it and preach from it. I don't take my text and preach from my text. I take a text and I preach to it. I finally wind up back there. So mark your spot in Colossians 3, but I want to show you a scripture in Acts where the Apostle Paul was talking to these people, these new disciples, these new born or new converts in Ephesus. And when he found them there, he began to ask them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me get this scripture. Is that in Acts? It's in the 19th chapter of Acts. And in the second verse, he said, well, I'll just read the first. It said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, look what part of the message was back there. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, today there's a lot of Christian churches that teach that you receive the Holy Ghost when you do believe. when you believe and repent of your sins, that's when you get your new birth. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it's a separate experience. On the day of Pentecost, in the Acts, the second chapter, Peter said, he said this. They said, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. For," he said, "it's for you and for your children and for as many as be afar off." And then here Paul, in this discourse that he's talking to these disciples in Ephesus, he's asking them the question, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized? If you haven't heard of the Holy Ghost, then what kind of baptism was you baptized in?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And he said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now, it's not all recorded here, probably what all was in that conversation, but we could go back to Matthew 3 where John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose or to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." John was the forerunner of Christ, making the way for Jesus to come, preparing people's hearts for it. And God calls him as a prophet of God to begin to tell people, "Repent of your sins, be baptized in water, and get your hearts ready to receive the Messiah, because he, when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so Paul's question here was in line with that when he was saying, if you haven't heard of the Holy Ghost, then who baptized you? How'd you get baptized? Because water baptism points you to Holy Ghost baptism. Well, when they heard this, let's go back to Acts 19:5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He baptized them in water again. Why? Because whoever baptized them did not have the message, the true message of the body of Christ, and evidently weren't qualified to baptize. If they didn't have the message, they weren't qualified, because Jesus, he ordained those 12 apostles, and it was men that they ordained that had the correct message that were the only men qualified to baptize people. After John had died and Jesus ministry had begun, and the disciples of Christ were those that were ordained of him, and so Paul baptized these people again. And verse 6 says, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12 so here, Paul got something corrected and began to tell them about the Holy Ghost. I wish I today, you know, it's almost that rich in the Dominican Republic. I can preach this message in the Dominican Republic and people would come up to get the Holy Ghost just like that. Because it's God's touching that country, and those people aren't preached to a point that they've grown callous in their spirit, and you can't hardly touch them with the word of God, and people aren't, it's not urgent. They don't feel the sense of urgency of the Spirit of God anymore in America. It's hard to build a church in America with the truth of the word of God. People's heard so many things, there's nothing new under the sun that can hardly happen in America. People are just almost numb in America. It's hard to get to touch people. When I was a little boy, and I can still remember this some, God touched America. There was a time of refreshing. Brother Weiniger and I were talking, on a trip to Glenwood yesterday. And he was saying, it just seems like we need to get more serious. We need to get more dedicated. I said, Brother Weiniger, it's going to take a touch from God. It's going to take God to help us because it's going to have to, he knows the condition that we're in. And, back when 9-1-1 hit this nation, back when those two towers, those planes hit those towers, that shook this country just a little bit. It's going to take something stronger than 9-1-1. And that something stronger is going to come, I can promise you. It's going to take more than the hurricane in New Orleans to shake people up, to get them back on their knees. For just a little while, people started going back. The church attendance rose for a little while. But people, in America, we're so rich. We're so rich that you don't need God very much. If you're sick, you can go to Walgreens and just about get whatever you need to get some help to get you through. And we've got so many programs. If you need a doctor and you don't have any money, you still go to the doctor. They can't turn you down. We've got a law in this country. If you're real sick, you can go to the emergency room without a dollar in your pocket. They have to treat you. Let me tell you something. There's countries in this world you can't get any help. In the Dominican Republic, they call me from time to time. Pray, Brother Smith, pray. Brother or Sister so-and-so is deathly sick, and the hospital won't do anything for them because they don't have any money. They can't get any medicine because they won't give them medicine because they don't have any money to buy it. And there's people dying in countries like that. And when you're in that kind of condition, you'll get on your knees and you'll try to get a hold of God. And God knows how to. Y'all know the United States of America is the nation where God planted the gospel for this Gentile world. And it's hard to touch people with the gospel. I was going to say, Mingo, when I was a little boy, I can remember services where people would literally run from their seat to the front and fall down crying, begging God to forgive them. When they felt the Spirit of God of conviction in that church, they would run forward, broken. They couldn't hold themselves back. And God was touching this nation back then in such a way that it was so fresh and it was so such a deep touch. We're going to need something more from God. And I'm not blaming you people. Don't get me wrong about that. I'm just saying I'm trying to work on myself. I don't want God to have to do something devastating to me to get my attention. I know what it's like to try to live a Christian life where you struggle with, not being really dedicated. I know, I've been through that. I went through that as a young Christian where I couldn't quite get as dedicated as I knew I should be. And I could feel God chastising me. I'd go through things, Brother Daniel, and I knew, I'd get to where I knew I couldn't touch God. I couldn't feel God. And things wasn't going good in my life. And then God would touch me and I'd fall down on my face and get that refreshing and renewing in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit of God. And I'd get an unction to dedicate myself again. Then I could feel God helping me, working with me. But then, I'd get cold. I'd grow cold again. It's a terrible thing to go through, but I don't think I'm the only one that's been through it. But finally God got a hold of my life enough that I could stay connected to Him where I wasn't on that roller coaster ride. And And I could feel, you know, that I had enough strength. There's things that would hinder me before that wouldn't hinder me anymore. It took God to help me. It took time. I'll have to admit, maybe I didn't put forth all the effort that maybe I should have at the beginning. But I'm so thankful. Finally, God got my roots down deep enough that I was connected to Him. Brother Daniel sang that song yesterday. I thought that's the first time I'd heard that song. He sang, "Mine, mine, mine. Jesus is mine. He sang, "Mine, mine, mine. Jesus is mine." Something about I'm connected. I know I'm connected to that true vine. And then he said, "I know I'm connected to that true vine. It reaches from heaven to earth. I know I'm connected since I've had a new birth." And he talked a little bit about being abiding in the vine. St. John, the 15th chapter. And to be connected, you know, to stay connected, or to abide in Him. He talked about a little bit, just talked about the natural side of that. About, you know, a vineyard and how the branches had to stay connected. Sometimes they'd maybe fall off of the, fall down and, you know, on the ground, and they'd be laying there on the ground, but the husband would come on, pick them up, and dust them off, and maybe even tie them back up on the vine where they wouldn't fall. He talked a little bit about how God had to do that to him and help him. Well, I know myself what it's like, you know, to struggle with getting really connected to the true vine, really connected to Jesus, and having Him really in your life. And that's what I wanted to mention over here in Colossians, the third chapter. Let me just read Colossians 3, starting in the first verse. It said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." If you are risen with Christ. See, he's indicating here you can be born of the Holy Ghost, and if you are, here's some things you should be doing. You should be seeking things that are above. And I think it's all right to ask God. I think we ought to tell Him, "God, help me. Help me to you know, deal, you know, touch me, quicken me. Help me to know," did you find it? "Help me to have enough inspiration to seek things that are above, to get my mind on heavenly things." You know, sometimes I have to, Peter said it this way, gird up your minds. Sometimes you have to, I never have wore a girdle, but some of you women know what I'm talking about here. I know what a girdle does. It kind of, you know, it'll kind of straighten you out. it kind of, you know, put things where they are to be. Well, sometimes you have to put a girdle, you know, so to speak, on your mind to get your mind where it ought to be. Get to thinking on the things of God. I do that sometimes. You know, especially today, you can get your head in a smartphone, on Facebook, and in games and texting, and so much that you can do with one of these little things that it can take up all your time, and for what? You know, it don't really do that much for you. It's kind of like, I turned on the television last night and gun smoke was on. And And Festus, they arrested Festus and was going to hang him. They arrested the wrong guy. They thought he was, well, I thought there ain't no sense in me watching this. I know good and well. I could sit here and watch it, Brother Paul, but I know Festus is going to go to bed. He ain't going to get hung. I knew they wasn't going to hang Festus. I thought, what's the sense of me sitting here watching them go through the motions of hanging Festus? Because I can tell you, he ain't going to get hung. So I just well go on to bed and not watch this, because this is a bunch of baloney. It's just, I mean, it's a story, but it ain't going to do me any good. And, sometimes we just have to put things of this life out of the, put them aside and gird our minds up, seek ye things which are above. How often are you doing that? You got to put some discipline in your life to seek those things which are above, heavenly things, spiritual things, things that put you back, get you on track with what God's called you to do. I'm not saying that there's not any pleasure in this life that God wants you to have. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what your priority are to be. Paul's saying this. Look, if you've been born again, if you've got the Holy Ghost in your life, then seek the things that are of God. Get your mind on the things of God. And then he said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection. This indicates you could have your affection somewhere else. You could be allowing your affections to be involved and entangled with things that are not profitable. But he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead to the, you're dead to, at least you should be dead to the sinful things of this world. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You've become a part. You've accepted Christ, and now you're hid in Him. He's covering your life. He counts you righteous, and He's letting this process of a righteous life work in you. He goes through this and helps you to see, even though you're dead, you went through a death to receive the Holy Ghost. You went through a process of dying out, praying to God, saying, God, I want you more in my life. I want your Spirit. I want to be born of this Spirit that I see that Jesus came to give us. I want this. And I'm willing to die out to my desires, my will, and every idea and thought that I've got that I can have this. You have to desire it. You got to begin to tell God, I want it. Help me. If you don't want it bad enough, then ask God to help you want it. That's what I do sometimes. I say, God, I need some more want to. Give me some want to, Lord. Help me. I'm asking you to quicken me and touch me and give me whatever it is that I need to seek your face like you want me to. I will tell you, He will help you if you'll ask Him to. He will. If you'll just believe that and ask Him, He'll help you. Here's this song. It says, mine, 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 Jesus is mine. I know I've been connected to that true vine. I know that it reaches from heaven to earth. I know I've been connected since I've had my new birth. Oh, I saw a sister. Sister Lynette was sitting out in front of me so I could see her. I didn't see the other song leaders. They probably wrote it down too, but I saw her writing it down. So maybe they'll come up with it for us. We'll sing it sometime. Pass that back to Brother Boyd so he won't lose his phone number on there. Brother Daniels, his cousin, sung that. Brother Daniels in Podo. Anyway, set your affections on thing above. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. I've mentioned this many times. His appearing literally is not going to change you or cause you to appear in glory. You know, I guess you could balance this by saying his natural appearance would culminate with him appearing also in your life, because he's not going to appear to you unless you really have him fully in your life. You're not going to see. But if he appears to you, if you make the bride of Christ, Christ is going to appear to you, and it's going to be because he's appeared in you first. He's became the fullness of Christ till we all come to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. You're to become like him to inherit eternal life. A lot of people think, and they've been taught in religion, that, you know, if you die right now, you're going to heaven. Well, the Bible just don't teach that. I'm sorry, but it just don't teach that. You're not going to heaven just because you die. You're going to a grave unless you are perfect. And it takes a process to reach perfection and make the bride of Christ. If you die, you're going to go to a grave. You'll either come up in the resurrection of the just to make the bride, or you'll come up in the resurrection of the unjust after the 1,000-year millennial reign. If you're living in a time like this New Testament time, they were living in a time where you could overcome sin and die and move out a live soul and be in heaven. But we're going through a restored church process that's going to take a restoration, and this process is going to have to work in you and I just like it did in them for us to reach that place. So there was a time in the Jewish world you couldn't die and go to heaven. But after Jesus came, they were in a, they had a divine order of God and a judgment seat of Christ that would judge you eternally. And you could have eternal life if you reach perfection. It takes reaching perfection. Here's the bottom line to all of that. If you'll do everything God's asking you to do, you'll be all right. If you're living a slothful, you know, life where you're not really dedicated to God, then you're not going to be all right. You'll come up in the resurrection of the unjust, and God's reserved the unjust for the day, that day to be punished. It'll take a punishment for God to shake you enough to help you to be saved eternally in the resurrection of the unjust. But if we'll live a just life, we're going to make it. You'll make it. Just stay just. The rest is up to God. Okay, verse 3 said, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear," I read that, "you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore." Now he goes on to tell you how you're going to do this. How are you going to appear in glory? How's he going to appear in your life? Well, he's telling you, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." How do you mortify them? Paul said in Romans 8, you mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. It's going to take the Spirit of God helping you to mortify or kill these. Here's what he names them: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It doesn't mean you're not a child of God. You're just a disobedient child, and God will pour out his wrath. He will punish you. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. There was a time that you walked in this all of these things of the world, that while you were in sin, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. He's saying, look, you died out to that guy. You said I'm dying out to that life, so these things shouldn't be working in you. So mortify them. You know, ask God to help you. The Spirit of God will help you to get these things out of your life. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you put on the new man through the renewing of your mind. You know, it takes God to touch you and get you to get your mind girded up and think with like God would want you to think. And you're renewed in knowledge of the Word of God after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. I was mentioned to the Sunday school class that we're the problem back there was it was Judaism, the traditions of the law of Moses upon the Jewish world. Had affected that world and God's people to a point, it was hard for them to give up those traditions. And so, Brother Phil, would you check and see if dinner's about ready? And but that's not our problem down here. You're not anybody trying to get you to keep certain holy days or feast days or trying to get you to keep a dietary law. You know, that is of the law of Moses. Nobody's trying to tell you, you know, you can't eat fish that has no scales. You can't eat an animal, you know, that don't split the hoof and chew the cud. You can't eat different of these unclean animals that the Bible or the law called unclean. That's not our problem today. Nobody's trying to influence you in that. But back then, they were being influenced by that. They were thinking their salvation was in that. That if I'll not do these things, I'll be saved. You know, if I'll keep the Sabbath, if I won't work on Saturdays or a holy day, or if I'll, you know, eat these certain feasts, you know, God will favor me and I'll live forever. I'll go to heaven. That's not our problem today. None of you are being influenced with that. But we're being influenced with a lot of ideology in Christianity that, you know, some all the way from the most liberal point of view, that you can do anything you want to and just believe that Jesus died for you and you'll be saved eternally. That there's, you know, part of religion teaches that. Part of Christianity teaches that. That you just, if you believe Jesus died, rose for you, you accept him as your Savior and ask him to forgive you for your sins. The only problem with that is you'd have to ask him pretty often if you keep sinning. But there's there's phases of Christianity that teaches it that way. In fact, they teach once saved, always saved. Eternal security, that's the word I wanted. That you're eternally secure if you ever, one time, really repented of your sins. Then you're going to go to heaven. It don't make no difference what else you do in life. You're going to go to heaven. You're God's child. You're just not going to get as many stars in your crown. You may not even get a crown, but you get to go to heaven. You know, I don't want to go to heaven if that's how it is. I don't want to go to heaven. It's full of a bunch of ungodly people that are going to be just like they are here on this earth. We already got that. I'm wanting righteousness. I want to finally get rid of this sinful condition and finally have peace forevermore. I like what I've found in God so far, so I know I'm going to like it. I'm going to like it when sin's eradicated, when it's finally, there is no more sin. And death finally is overcome. We're being influenced with all of this ideology I thank God today that there's a gospel. When I heard this gospel, I thought, I knew it all the time. Sister Donna, I thought, I knew you couldn't go to heaven with sin in your life. I thought, this makes more sense than anything I ever heard. And I there are several things I realized. I thought, one thing is, I found out you can't go to heaven without the Holy Ghost. So I thought, if I didn't have it, that's what I'd be doing after it, to get it. Then I thought, I can't go to heaven until I overcome sin, Sister Crow. So I thought, I just well to get down to business. I just well to do it. There ain't no sense in me waiting around till some other day. I just might as well make up my mind. I'm going to get busy asking God to help me overcome. Live an overcoming life. Let me get my life dedicated. And let me put forth an effort and be diligent to serve Him. If you'll do that, if you'll make up your mind to serve Him, you'll love serving God. If you don't make up your mind to serve Him, you're going to live in a terrible warfare going on in your members. Being convicted because you know you're not living right. You're God's child, but you're not living right. And you live under that condemnation. But when you know every time I make a mistake, I say, oh God, help me. Forgive me for that, Lord. And you try to fix it, make it right. And you try to walk uprightly as much as God gives you the power to do it. And you just keep putting forth, an effort. You get in this. You don't just halfway get in it. You don't have one foot going this way. Let me get out here where you can see me. And the other going this way. Which way am I going to go? The world or church? But you say, I'm getting both feet in this. And I'm not getting way back in the back part of this. But I'm going to get right up close. I want to be on the inside looking out. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. But I want to be part of the hub that makes this thing turn. I mean, if I'm going to be in it, if I'm going to be in the bride and rule and reign with Him, I'm going to have to get serious about it. So I got to make up my mind to get all the way in. Don't, you can't spend your whole life trying to figure out which way I'm going to go. And that's what I've been telling the young people. I'm excited that we've got young people that are faithful to come to church. And I know the Lord is touching them. And I'm just asking God to keep touching them until they get inspired of Him, that they begin to inspire other youth. Because this world is full of young people and their minds are not so fixed on things that they can't, that they can't get out of their old traditions and their old ways. They're young and they've got strength and they've got zeal. I'm asking God, keep touching them, Lord. Keep touching them. Help them, inspire them, and cause them to have a desire to work for You. And, set them on fire. Do them like a bunch of foxtails. Tie their tails together and set them on fire and put them through the fields. I'll just use it that way today. Anyway, I know God. I've seen Him touch our young people. I'm praying He keeps touching them because I know that we need them. We need y'all. We need your help. We need your leadership. You can help lead us. Some of us are bound down in traditions, and I'm all for giving you enough room to see what God will do, giving you new inspiration. So take it and run with it. Keep reaching out to Him. Hallelujah. I know He's more than able. What about dinner? 1:30. All right. Well, I'm through preaching, so I'm going to let the singer sing. And, I could filibuster for another 15 minutes, but there's no sense in me doing that. Let's just have a good song, or maybe somebody's got a special song. I want to request more special songs. I want more singers, more poem readers or quoters. Let's get some of the things that inspire. Songs inspire, and poems and good testimonies. So let's start asking God. God, give me a song. You know, just say, hey, Brother Smith wants us more singing, so I'm just going to try to, I'm going to try to do it. See if I can be a help. You know, if you don't hit it, well, just say, well, I tried. Thank God, I ain't going to go home and wonder if I should have tried. I know I did try. So, and I'm with you. I'll be with you. If you get up and sing, I'll be pulling for you. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. God bless your hearts. be ready, so somebody want to testify or... Or we could have some more music.
I'd like to thank the Lord for this burden that we've all been asked to carry. It's important. It's important to me that you know that I feel like I've got a role, a part to play, and I appreciate Brother Smith reminding us that it's not just his calling, but it's ours too. And with that responsibility, or with that knowledge, comes responsibility, and it's a challenge. I know it is for me personally to find a balance between my personal life, my work, church responsibilities. It's a real challenge, but I also know that I'm to just rest in the Lord and cease from my own labors. And I know that if I put him first, as the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. And so I recognize that if I put the Lord first, if I'll cease from my labors and put him first, then the things that I find challenging, you know, as far as balancing the responsibilities that I have in my life, I know that he'll provide. He'll make a way. And oftentimes I don't do that. Oftentimes I find myself just doing it by my own brute strength. I was working yesterday at home and turning wrenches, and I need to get some impact wrenches to make my job easier. But I was turning some wrenches and cutting some metal and bending some metal, and my boy Neth was working with me, and we were laying down. I was on my back, and he was laying on his belly looking at me. And I could just imagine, you know, the expression on my face is I'm using all the strength I've got to turn these wrenches. And I look over at him, and his eyes are all big because, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you've never done that or never witnessed anybody, you know, their jawline's all out of shape and their eyes are squinty or, you know, just whatever. I'm not going to make any funny faces, so y'all just forget it. Should have been there. That's all I got to say. You just have to imagine. But I looked over at him and he, you know, his eyes are all big looking at me, and I just stuck my tongue out at him. You know, just to kind of, you know, just kind of break that frustration. But the thing is that's how I get sometimes in my life, is I'll get to doing things by my own, you know, brute strength and not trusting that the Lord will provide. And I thought about Brother Smith's comment about the folks in the Dominican and their lack of services available to them. And, you know, I'm reminded of people that came up. I've heard good old testimonies of people that have come up through the years, you know, particularly in the early days of Pentecost, when they didn't have health insurance. They didn't have even the funds to go to a doctor or go to a hospital. Their trust, all they had, was to call on the name of the Lord. That's all they had. And, you know, it's sad, really. I won't put you in this category, but it's sad that my first thought oftentimes is, well, what can I do? What can I do to fix this? What have I got? Who can I call? What can I rely on to solve this or to get my healing, or what medicine can we take, or you know, where can I rob Peter to pay Paul, or what can I do to fix my problem, instead of just saying, Lord, what would you have me to do, or Lord, what is your solution to this problem? And I'm reminded, even with that, I'm reminded of the story, you know, and you guys have heard this story. These two guys were in a pasture, and they come up on a bull, and they seen him from a distance, and they realized that they were in a dangerous situation. And one of them said, I think we need to stop and pray and ask God to protect us. And the other one said, no, I think we need to run and pray. Get out of this pasture. So, you know, I'm for that. I think oftentimes that's what we do. We run and pray, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing. I recognize that. But isn't it good, like on Wednesday night, we have time now to come in here and just cease from our labors? To just stop what we're doing, just to put everything on hold, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to come into church on a Wednesday night and you know, to just, you know, almost to just rush through those doors like a whirlwind. But we've got time to put all that on hold and pray. To trust and ask the Lord, to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? And so I appreciate this church. I appreciate you, Brother Smith, and this burden that you're putting on us, and to help remind us that we're all in this together. We're workers and laborers in the kingdom of God, and I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you find your place in the house of God and find, you know, the Bible says that when they were rebuilding the wall, that the people had a mind to work. And, you know, there can be joy in working. And you guys probably know it, there's times that I don't express that joy. But there can be joy in working and finding, you know, happiness in contentment. The Bible says that contentment with godliness is great gain. And, you know, to find that place in God where you're satisfied that the Lord is working with you, and that you're working with Him. There's a song I'm reminded of, an old song I used to hear, satisfied with Jesus, but Master, are you satisfied with me? And I think about that at times. It's a privilege to be in the house of God this morning. So, you know, I know we're probably getting ready to go eat, but I wanted to just bare my heart a little bit and let you know that I'm happy. I'm pleased to be here. I'm happy that my family's here. I'm happy to be working in this church. I desire that God would bless each and every one of you abundantly. Pressed down and shaken over. Praise God.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks my sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks a sin, He has shown His light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is He has shown His light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for this lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
To announce our singing on the 27th, which is be not this next Saturday, but the following after that. So basically 2 weeks from last night. And then B band at 3 o'clock. Sister Painter, Brother McGowan's not here, but Sister Painter's going to have the B band at 3 o'clock. And then is there choir today? No choir today and no regular band practice today, or do you want to have it? Huh? Okay. So just B band practice, only practice at 3 o'clock. Huh? It is youth night. Yes, tonight's youth night. So, Sister Ariel, you and Sister Rachel, Sister Skyler, all the rest of you youth, this is y'all's night. So, y'all got the ball, run with it. All right, let's thank God for the service and for the food and fellowship we're about to partake of. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness and your great grace, your mercy, O God, precious Lord. Bless our food and time and fellowship and the service tonight, the youth service, Lord. Touch our youth. Amen. Praise God. All right. Lord, bless you.